You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Psalms 121, if you have your Bibles, turn there. I want to minister along those lines. You know, where is your focus? Where is your trust? Where is your hope? Well, obviously, it should be in God, and it should never change. That, thank God we have an unchanging hope, an unchanging help, an unchanging healer, lover, forgiver. Amen? Nothing changes that. Nothing changes God. Some things never change. You know, I remember after 9/11, a tragic thing happened in our country. Some 3,000 people were killed in those plane crashes and with the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and the down plane, and all that took place there. And it was devastating. I remember all over the news. You remember that when that happened. Most of you here tonight remember that. Probably remember exactly where you were when it took place. Seems like we always remember when there was a tragedy. but I remember that was, it was on a Tuesday, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Next night, Wednesday, we had church. And I taught a message on some things never change. Some things never change. And I just went through some things that never change. Because that was what we were hearing all over the news. Everybody was saying during that tragedy that when that happened was that, America will never be the same, never be the same, you know, never be the same. And people, fear was coming on people. That is a sign of the last days that you need to be aware of and to come against, because the Bible says that men's heart will fail them for fear of things that are coming upon the earth. You and I, my brother and sister, don't have anything to fear about what's coming on this earth. In fact, when things get worse and worse and worse, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. Start listening for that trumpet sound, because it's going to sound and we're going up. Woo! Going out of here, hallelujah. And when we come back down here, it'll all be different, praise God. But it is a matter of focus. We're focusing on problems, what could be, what might be, what we don't know is going to be, instead of focusing on what we do know. I do know God is good. I do know that He provides. I do know that He's taken care of me all these years and He's not going to stop that. I do know He loves me. He's never going to stop loving me. I do know He's there when I call, and He's never going to stop answering me when I call on Him. See, He is the same. Ooh, hallelujah. He's the rock that we run to. You know, I ministered in India one time. I'd flown into South India. This is 1980. Actually, I went a couple of times, but I was there 6 weeks one time, 3 weeks another. But I'd flown into Bombay, which is now Mumbai. You know, they changed the name of that city. Back in the 90s, I think they changed the name of it. Did y'all know that? You know, Bombay is no more. They call it Mumbai. And they wanted to call it that because that's closer to the name of their Hindu god that they wanted to change. Literally, there were some religious people that got in there, got a hold of it, changed the name to Mumbai. They actually changed the name Madras to another. I forgot what the name was. Madras is in the southern, south, eastern tip. Another prominent city there. They changed it in the 90s also. But anyway, I flew into Bombay, and then we flew down to Trivandrum, down at the tip, just east of Madras, into the state of Kerala. Like this is the state of Texas, they have states in India, and that state was Kerala. And we went from Trivandrum and went to Mavalakara. You know where all these places are, I'm sure, where they speak Malayalam. Yeah, you know, Malayalam, where they, you know, Yeshu Paranu Nyantane Vadyam Satyam Jivanu Maganu, you know. That's Malayalam. That's what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. That's an actual language. Sound like tongues, doesn't it? Devam shneya maganu, God is love. That's a real phrase. Sounds just like tongues. I mean, it's interesting. But I was ministering there, and we'd gone to all kinds of cities. We'd gone up the coastline, places like Alapi and Cochin and Trichur. Those are cities, main cities up the coastline, eastern coastline, the western coastline of India. And we got up to this place called Manimuli. Real place. And there were some mountains there, and they called the mountains of Manimuli. And we got in some valleys and some really what I would call primitive areas of India. In fact, we had gotten a bunch of food together with these people that we were with. I had just flown over there with a friend of mine, and the two of us had flown over there, and I was preaching every day and every night. And just ate it up. I was loving it. I was preaching on the streets, preaching in Bible schools, preaching in villages, preaching in churches. And we took food into this area, the mountains of Manimuli, into this valley where they didn't have a written language. You know, there's 180 something languages in India, 750 something dialects. 18 major languages, and that's why they have those different. Every state has a different language. Madras, the state of Madras, the state of Kerala, the state of Tamil Nadu, they speak Tamil, and Kerala, they speak Malayalam, and Madras, they speak another language. The state, the whole country speaks, for most part, Hindi, and then some English. Hindi is kind of the national language, but not everybody speaks it. And every state has its own language, and then they have their dialects inside the states. It's a very confused country, India is. And there's a billion people in India. And we were in this one little village where they had their own spoken language, but they didn't have a written language. So not only did I have to have an interpreter into Malayalam, but then the guy speaking Malayalam needed an interpreter for the village. So you go through two interpreters. And so we brought food in. We brought a bunch of food in and just fed them, you know. And then we began to preach to them, you know, that Jesus loves them. And one thing I'll never forget about that place is that when we came into that little village, we came around this huge rock. It was about, you know, maybe half the size of the platform here, big rock. And you went around it to go down into this little valley where the village was. And to them, that was their God. This rock was their God. And their thinking was that when it rained and when it stormed and the wind blew and the monsoons came in, which they do every year there, and it's tragic. I mean, it floods and it's just terrible. Washes everything away. The rock's still there. And every time, every storm, and every, you know, every weather tragedy takes place, the rock never moves. So I preached on that. I went on there and told them about the rock that never changes. Jesus, the rock, and how that God never changes. No matter what happens, no matter the monsoon, no matter what tragedy, no matter what take place, there is a God who loves you, who is the Lord God. He changes not, Malachi 3:6. Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:2. And then, of course, we, you know, gave an invitation. Now, I don't know how sincere everybody was, but everybody raised their hand. The whole village, every one of them raised their hand to accept Jesus. You know, of course, we had fed them, and that does convince people. But they followed up on that, and they went back, these people did, and ministered to them. Our God never changes. And he's better than a rock. He's not just sitting there. He is alive and well and moving and very active in our lives. And we need to focus in on him. We need to trust him. We need to look to him. We need to pray to him. We need to believe him. Are you with me? And I don't think we do that as much as we should. We say we believe in God, but we're not really going to him like we should. And when we do, we're not really trusting him when we go. Hello. We look to everything but God. And this psalm is somewhat, you know, focused on that same point, or that logic is, it starts out, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. One translation makes a question out of it, from whence comes my help? I mean, what a look up. That painting back there at the back was based on Psalms 121. Tina Cox painted that, looking up to the hills. And then as you see up the hills, past the hills, you see those geese flying. Remember the V money that we do? She put all that together in one painting. I thought it was pretty neat the way she, you know, composed all that teaching together in just one painting. But he says, look to the hills. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Next verse, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Sometimes we look to our job. Sometimes we look to our relatives. Thank God for relatives. Thank God for jobs. Sometimes we look to our government. Thank God for government. We need government. Are you with me? But really, our help comes from God. Hello. Anything your relatives can do, God gave them the ability to do it. Any job you have, God gave you that job. Any government does any good at all, it's God that empowers it and for good. Any good that's done, God is behind it. There's no question about that. God is good. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, from heaven, with whom is no shadow variableness nor shadow of turning. In other words, the way you look at him, you turn him any way you want to turn him, he's good. He doesn't vary. He's no variableness, no changing in him. God is a good God. God will provide. God will help us. God will sustain us. God will uphold us. God will undergird us. God will keep us on our feet and keep us going. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But that's a focus, because that's what faith is. Faith is a focus. And if you want to get out of faith, lose your focus. Are you out there? If you lose your focus, you lose your faith. Because faith is a focus. That's what it is. Faith is being one-track-minded. There's nothing wrong with being one-track-minded. There's nothing wrong with being single-minded. There's nothing wrong with being narrow-minded if what you're one-track-minded, single-minded, narrow-minded about is the truth. Some people say, well, you're just too narrow-minded. You're just brainwashed. Well, my brain was dirty. It needed to be washed. Yeah, I am brainwashed. I've been washed by the blood. I've been washed by the Word. The washing of the water of the Word has changed my thinking. My thinking was all messed up. It was dirty. It needed to be cleansed. Nothing wrong with being brainwashed if you've been washed with the right, you know, right detergent. I understand the negative side of brainwashing, but, you know, as far as the world's concerned, most of the world does need to be brainwashed. Hello. I mean, there's two ways of looking at that thing. Hallelujah. But what we've got to do is get a hold of the truth, and hey, get a hold of it, as we say in East Texas. Quit letting it go every time something happens and every, you know, tragedy takes place or every discouragement comes or the wind blows this way and that way and we let go of the truth. Don't let go of the truth. Some things aren't, you don't need to be open-minded about the truth. I mean, how ridiculous would it be? I mean, that sounds very wise. Well, we should be more open-minded, you know. Christians are so closed-minded, and you people standing on Scripture and promises in the Bible, you're so narrow-minded. And well, that's like saying 1 and 1 equals 2. Is it narrow-minded to say that? I don't know. 1 and 1 equals 2. Far as I know, schools I went to still equals two. I'm not really open up to it meaning or equaling something else, because 1 and 1 equals 2. That's a truth or a truism. And so why in the world would I be open about something I know to be true? Are you out there? I mean, I could ask your name, and, you know, you could tell, Mo could say my name's Mo. Well, Mo, have you ever thought about maybe your name's Shirley? And you know, and Mo would say, no, my name's Mo. And I'd say, well, now, Mo, you're kind of closed-minded about that, aren't you? I mean, that's pretty narrow-minded, isn't it? I mean, you think you know what your name is, and it may be something else. But, you know, are you with me? You see how something can sound wise, but it's not that wise, really, because once you find the truth, you're not going to be open about the truth. Hey, we're in Texas. You know that? What if someone come along and says, you know, really, why are you so narrow-minded about that? Maybe you're actually in Kentucky. I got nothing against Kentucky, but I am in Texas. I'm not open. Well, you're pretty closed-minded about that, aren't you? Well, yes, I am, because that's the truth. Why would you be open-minded about something that is true? Are you out there? I think the reason we think we should be open-minded about things is because we're not so sure things are true. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Now I'm talking. Now I'm talking to you. Getting it? Sometimes maybe God is not really doing what he says he's doing. And see, now we lose our focus right there. We're not convinced of the truth. Once you're convinced of the truth, hang on to it. Amen. Hold on to it. Get a hold of it. Hallelujah. See, the psalmist is saying, hey, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Make no mistake about it. I'm going to trust him. And he's going to help me. Amen. Hallelujah. And this may fall through and that may fall through and this may not work out and that may not work out. But God is my help. Hallelujah. My God supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. He will sustain me. His righteous right hand will hold me up. I will not be dismayed. I will not be discouraged. The Lord upholds me with his righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be helped. You know, I think about even in Egypt, when all the plagues were coming on Egypt, there was light in the land of Goshen. There wasn't one of those plagues came on Egypt. Not one of them. Not the lice, not the rivers turned to blood, not the diseased cattle, not the hail, not the darkness, not the death, the firstborn. None of it came on the children of Israel. It didn't come on the land of Goshen. God's people, God's children. You know, I think all through history, all through the Bible, you see God supplying people's needs supernaturally. Deliverance in lions' dens, feeding people with ravens by a brook. Are you with me? And then all the miracles of the New Testament. Listen, they were sitting under an oppressive government, the Roman Empire, who believed in pagan gods and persecuted people, and yet God did miracle after miracle after miracle. Woo! Are you with me? where does our help come from? Well, if we had this lined out and that lined out, if this was right and that were right, well, no, my help comes from the Lord, okay? My help comes from the Lord. I don't ever want to lose that focus. You know, this pain or this empty wallet or, no, my help comes from the Lord. All those things are incidental. God can turn anything around in our lives. But if we'll keep our focus and trust and faith in Him, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Are you with me? Don't lose your focus. Praise God. Get your face in His face. He says He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God doesn't fall asleep. He's not moody. He's not lethargic. He's not really up one day and down the next, you know. Well, maybe if you catch him in a good mood, he'll answer your prayer. No, he's the same all the time. And he's not bothered by your prayer. You know, people often think, well, there's so many people who have so many needs more than I do. Well, I mean, that's just saying God's not big enough to handle everybody. God is big enough to handle everybody. You can pray and God will help you. And they can pray and God will help them too. And you can pray for them and God will help them. But the idea that, you know, just you doing that is going to help somebody, I don't know where that comes from. That's just a real pious, humble, seemingly spiritual deception, really. Because my doing without doesn't help anybody unless what I'm doing without, I'm giving it to somebody. Now, then I might be helping somebody. But just me being poor doesn't help a person in the world. The only thing it does is bring attention to me and my poverty, my humility, my piety, and me, my. It doesn't glorify God, it glorifies me. Unless what I'm doing without, I'm giving to somebody. And that couldn't stay that way, because if I keep doing that, it's going to come back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Because whatever man sows, he'll also reap. So that couldn't be perpetual. If I were doing out without something, eventually it's got to come back, because that's what God said. So I wouldn't stay that way. Hallelujah. He will not allow your foot to be removed. He who keeps you will not slumber. Man, I love that. You ever had something that's just wearing on you, you know, keep you up all night long, roll around, you know, tossing and turning all night, worried about it, so on and so forth. You know, you ought to go ahead and go to sleep. God's going to be awake all night. No sense in both y'all staying awake about it. Amen. I mean, don't worry. He won't fall asleep on you. He'll take care of you. You'll trust Him. You need to roll over, go to sleep. He gives His beloved sleep, is what the Bible says. And we can rest in Him. And He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He doesn't have to. So let Him take care of the thing. The Lord is your keeper. I like that. Man, this is a good psalm, just 8 verses. 5th verse says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. When things get a little hot, He's your shade. When it heats up, praise God, you can run to Him and you can get into the shade. Temperature drops drastically in the shade. You know that? On a hot day, I mean, you can get it. That's why all those cows get under those trees. Because they have more sense than we do. They know where to run. We don't. We just stay out there and eat. In life, we're kind of that way too. We don't run to God and get in the shade when the heat's turned up. And we ought to run to our shade, because the Lord is our shade. And the Lord is our keeper. He keeps us. He guards us. He protects us. He does that. My faith's in Him. You know, I can remember as a child, you know, and I didn't know what was going on. And yet God kept me alive. I didn't even know Him. He kept me alive. And then I got saved, and I turned my life over to Him when I was 19, and He just took me out of all that mess and all the drugs and all the, you know, the mess I was in, and turned my life around, and then eventually called me to teach and preach and pastor, and here I am today. I mean, He's been good to me. I got nothing bad to say about God, nothing but good. Anything that ever went wrong, it wasn't Him, it was me or somebody else. It wasn't God. Yeah. Hallelujah. He has kept me. He has guarded me. And He'll keep me all the way to heaven. When I leave this earth, it's just a train ticket, plane ticket. It's just a bus ride. It's going somewhere else. We're going to leave here and go right on into glory. Woo! Because the Lord is my keeper. The Lord keeps me, and He keeps His word. He keeps His promises concerning me. Hallelujah. He's the shade on my right hand. He is the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Hallelujah. You know, I think of the moon, it's always, you know, it's, they associate the moon with mental disease or craziness, you know. In fact, the Greek word for moon is, you know, we get the word lunatic from it. The Latin word is lunus, lunatic. In fact, in Spanish, lunus is the moon. You know, and Monday was moon day. Lunus, that's what it meant. And someone that was, you know, enraptured or made crazy by the moon was a lunatic. That's what the word, where it comes from. And, you know, don't let the moon get in your eyes, or that old love song, you know. You know, it affects us in certain ways. And we know for a fact it does affect tides. It affects a lot of tides on the earth, full moons. In fact, this great storm we just heard about, mega storm that hit up there, Sandy, that hit up there, it was what they call a perfect storm in the sense that it hit exactly at high tide and it hit on a full moon, which is the highest of the high tides. The highest tide they have is a full moon high tide. And so everything, it hit at the very worst time, high tide, in the very worst time of the month, full moon, and that's why it caused so much damage. I mean, it couldn't have been any worse. It absolutely hit at the very worst time it could have hit, because the moon has that kind of, you know, magnetic control on the earth. We know that. And also, as far as lunacy concerned, I don't know how much truth is to all that. I'm just telling you some history there. You know, they'll say crime goes up on full moon nights, and, you know, emergency rooms go up, people that come in on full moon. You hear stuff like that. But here's what's good, whether that be true or not true. What's good here is that the sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Thank God you don't have to go crazy. This is good news, okay? This is, you start feeling like you're getting a little loony, you can start standing on this verse. I'm not going lunar or lunatic. I'm not going crazy. God keeps me. Hallelujah. And whatever happens in life is not going to make me crazy. I'm not going to pull my hair out. Yeah, getting less and less every year. I don't want to start doing that. And some of you don't have to worry about it. But anyway, why is all this? Because we trust in the Lord. You know, Psalms 20 says this. You don't have to turn there, but Psalms 20 tells us, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Man, I love that. God upholds us. They are broken. They fall down, it goes on to say. But God lifts us up and holds us up, praise God. Why? Because we don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. And we don't trust in the world. I don't trust in man. You don't trust in man. I mean, we trust each other, but I'm not looking to man to take care of me. I'm looking to God, amen, to take care of me. And no matter what happens, see, that's good, because no matter what happens, then he's still the same. My focus is still on him. My faith is still on him. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. He's a shade on my right hand. Hallelujah. Amen. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's my keeper. He upholds me. He takes care of me by day and by night. Seventh verse says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Wow, what a promise. Isn't that awesome? You know, you have to fight fear in this world that we live in. I mentioned that earlier. That's one of the things the Bible says will happen in the last days. Don't let that happen to you. He forewarned us so we wouldn't have to let that happen. Don't let your heart fail you for fear of things come upon the earth. You know, sometimes we can look at things and see that they're not going so well, maybe. You know, and people like a lot of predictions about our country, and some of those may be true. I'm not arguing about that. But that still doesn't have anything to do with my faith. It has nothing to do with my walk with Jesus. It has nothing to do with my prayers being answered. It has nothing to do with my family prospering. It has nothing to do with my health, my joy. What was that song we heard today at the funeral? I thought that was so good. It's just a country song. They had several songs this funeral went to, Vivian's son, George, and he requested that the last song, he requested that they sing this song, that they play this song. And it was a little banjo playing, and it was real country and guitar, and it was Looking on the Sunny Side of Life, I think is what it was. And it was, he said, didn't want anybody crying at his funeral, wanted everybody happy when they left. And his wife got up, and she was a little bit embarrassed, you could tell, but she was kind of laughing too. She said, now, George asked me to do this song. He wanted this song played. He didn't want anybody being sad. He didn't want anybody being down. And so I'm doing what he told me to do. And everybody kind of laughed, you know, and they played the song. And I got such a kick out of that. I thought that was so good. It was talking about everything. Sometimes rain, storm comes, but look on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life, you know. I can't remember exactly how the song goes. It's an old song, but it's old country. You probably know the song, don't you, Mo? When I said old song, I knew you'd know that. But I know, you know, I mean, you're, yeah. Is that right? Look on the sunny side. Is that? It's a real cute little song. It's a little banjo in the background. And I thought, man, that is such good advice. I mean, because how many times you let things get you down, it don't really make a difference in your life. It doesn't really matter as far as you're concerned, as far as your faith, as far as your future. Amen? Now, that's not a lackadaisical, don't care attitude. Sure, we're involved in a lot of things, trying to help people make things better. But I tell you, it doesn't matter about all that. As far as I'm concerned, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm lifting my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. And that doesn't change. Nothing changes that. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. You know, if you write notes, Psalm 78 is a classic case of this, where the children of Israel went out in the wilderness. They were delivered, you know, from Egypt. And they got out there and they started murmuring and complaining and moaning and groaning and whining, you know, and all these things came on them. They just had all these problems. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And it says very plainly there more than once through that Psalm 78, it's a long psalm, but it says several times, because they did not trust God, because they did not put their hope in the Lord, over and over. Man, I don't want that to be me. I'm going to keep my trust in God and my hope, keep hope alive. My hope's in Him. And that's a sure foundation. That's a solid, solid thing to put my trust and my hope into. And I'm not open about, I'm very close-minded about that. Very narrow-minded, as it were. I'm very single-minded. I'm reminded of single-minded, double-minded. You know what the Bible says about that in James 1. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro. He said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we want to be single-minded about the truth. Amen. And single-minded about this truth. This is a truth that I'm very single-minded about, and we all should be. Our help comes from the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He preserves us. He keeps us from all evil. And the eighth verse goes on and says this. This helping you? I love these psalms. I love to just, and I do this often, and you know this, I love to just take verses and just chew on them and take them apart and talk about them and make them practical and you know, talk about where the rubber meets the road in your life, my life, and make it, you know, make it very, very personal and up to date and current, and it is. And you should read the Bible that way. Amen? This works right now, 2012. These promises are true right now. This is stuff you and I deal with right now, deal with every day. And whatever we do, keep your focus. Keep your focus on God. Keep hope alive. Whatever you don't lose. Where's your hope coming from? That's what you need to ask. Where's your help coming from? If it's coming from God, well, that never changes. Nothing changes that, see. No matter what goes on. The bad report, the doctor's report, bad report, the bank note, the bad report. Hello. The bad economic forecast, as it were. Maybe it's an election. We just had one of those. I mean, it could be any number of things that sometimes we make mountains out of molehills as far as our personal life is concerned. Not to say they're not important. I think things are very important that I even mentioned there are very important things. But when it comes down to my house, and it comes down to me, and it comes down to my faith, and it comes down to what I am believing, well, none of that moves me. As Paul said, none of these things move me. Are you out there? That just doesn't, that's not an option. That's not, we don't turn to the left or right. We keep our focus and our faith. And, you know, I think it was said, I don't know who said it. I think it was attributed to Edmund Burke. I don't know if he really said it or not. I just read this today, I think, somewhere. I believe it's today. It says, nothing wrong with despair as long as you keep working. And what he was saying was, and I don't believe in despair. I don't think you ought to be discouraged. But what you don't do is stop doing what you know to do. Know what you know is right. Don't ever let what you don't know keep you from doing what you do know. Don't ever let discouragement or despair keep you from staying on the track that you know is right. Well, what's the point? What's the use in it? What's the use in it is that God says do it, and you want to please God, amen? Whether anybody does it, I'm going to do it. Whether anybody agrees, I'm going to do it because God said to do it. Are you with me? I'm going to be uncompromising in that respect because God said thus and so, I'm going to do thus and so. Well, you know that's not real popular anymore. Well, I don't know what's popular. I just know what God says, and I know what makes God happy, and I know what's worked for me all these years, and I'm not about to try to fix something that's not broken. Amen. Okay, last verse. I'm going to let you out early tonight. It's 20 after. I mean, we could go to a lot more verses, but I'll be merciful to you. The 8th verse says this. The Lord, 8th verse, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. From this time forth and even forevermore. Well, how long is that supposed to last? Forevermore. Nothing going to change that. As long as we keep our eyes on Him. Lift up our eyes to the hills from which comes our help. Amen. Our help comes from the Lord. As long as we keep our focus on Him. That's just basic trusting God 101. That's what we're teaching here tonight. Nothing complicated, nothing deep, just something real simple. Very practical, though. I think this is where we miss it. We don't miss it in big things. We miss it in little things. We quit doing things that we know we're supposed to do. We quit trusting God. We get our face out of His face. We get our focus off Him. We get to looking at everything but Him. We get to looking at the water and the waves and the wind, and we start sinking. Instead of looking at Jesus and rise above all that. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live my life above the circumstances of life. I'm going to live my life unaffected by that in the sense of my faith is going to be strong and focused and narrow-minded and single-minded and not open. Once I find the truth. Amen. I'm open about what I don't know. Are you out there? But I'm not open about what I do know. It would be ridiculous to just all of a sudden be open about all the laws of mathematics and not believe them anymore, not believe in God, not believe the Bible. We know God is real. We know He's a supplier. We know He meets our needs. We know He protects us, and we know He keeps us. Hallelujah. And He helps us. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the future. How about you? I'm excited about the future of this church. I'm excited about where we're going. I see people coming in from the north, south, the east, and the west. I see increase in harvest. I see people getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and lives getting back together and marriages getting restored and people getting help and back on their feet again. I see an influx or an increase. I see a fire burning and growing and glowing and expanding and increasing. Hallelujah. And I see myself growing in God and you growing in God. And our best days are yet to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how can I be so sure? And how can I have that kind of hope? Because my trust is in the Lord.